What I'm going to focus on is finger fractures, and specifically phalangeal and metacarpal fractures. And for this podcast, we'll keep it focused on just the main treatment goals and principles. So let's start with that. So what are the treatment goals? Well, treatment goals include, with finger fractures, restoration of articular congruities. So that's for interarticular fractures. Reduction or correction of any malrotation or malangulation. Maintenance of that reduction with minimal surgical intervention, and if surgery is indicated, maintaining acceptable surgical wounds. And the key with finger fractures is rapid mobilization. You don't want to do anything that either requires extensive immobilization or extensive hardware. Phalanges and metacarpals heal very quickly and very reliably, and the goal should be non-operative whenever possible, and if operative, to keep it very simple. In terms of fracture management indications, the indications for non-operative treatment include fractures with any minimal displacement or minimal angulation, isolated metacarpal fractures, again without displacement, without any angulation or malrotation, the far majority of distal phalanx fractures, and any fractures without displacement throughout the arc of digital motion. Think of phalangeal and metacarpal fractures as long bones like a femur or a tibia. How they look on x-ray is less important than how the hand examines. If the length and rotation and angulation of the fingers is normal, i.e. the cascade is normal, the patient's able to make a full composite fist and fully extend the fingers without trouble, then how bad the fracture looks is not really relevant. And obviously, with increasing displacement or angulation, you will have a disruption of that normal cascade, thereby directing operative intervention. So when it comes to the fingers, how the hand examine often trumps how the x-rays look. So when would you operate on a finger fracture? Well, you would operate on them if the fracture is obviously displaced or irreducible with subsequent disruption of the cascade, displaced articular fractures. Multiple metacarpal fractures are often considered an indication. Fractures that are either extensively comminuted or with bone loss due to the inherent instability or a risk of non-union. And short oblique and spiral unstable fractures, that's a relative indication. And then lastly, complex fractures. So when we say complex, we're implying either an open fracture or a fracture associated with a tendon, nerve, or vascular injury. That's very common in the hand. As many fractures are associated with an amputation or near amputation of a digit, which would fall under the complex fracture category, where the need is for the fracture work to immediately stabilize the skeletal alignment so that the soft tissue repair can go on quickly thereafter. So let's start talking a little bit more detail and start with phalangeal fractures. Some general consideration with phalangeal fractures. Most fractures are pretty stable and don't really need surgery. There are many ways to treat simple fracture patterns, but there are particular factors that will affect the outcome. And these factors include whether or not there's any intra-articular displacement, whether the fractures are comminuted and or associated with bone loss or instability, whether there's any associated soft tissue injury, such as a tendon injury, and how long the fracture needs to be immobilized. And you don't want to immobilize these for no more than 3 to 4 weeks tops, as the fingers can become very, very stiff. Common complications of phalangeal fractures, irrespective of treatment, whether surgical or non-surgical, are firstly, malunion. So the fracture can heal with some angular or rotational deformity. And interestingly, it's not often evident with the fingers in extension. You have to often have them flex or make a fist, and then the deformity becomes more evident. And certain fracture patterns are prone to certain malunions. So spiral fractures are more prone to malrotational malunions, and oblique fractures are more prone to angulated malunions. The other big complication when it comes to finger fractures is stiffness. You can get the joint can become stiff or contract or develop arthrofibrosis. The joint can contract and the soft tissues around it can become adherent, and you can have tendon adhesions as well. So stiffness from arthrofibrosis, joint contracture, and tendon adhesions is very, very common with fractures, almost irrespective of treatment. And that's one of the things you want to look at carefully when you're managing these surgically, is not to do anything to increase stiffness, but preferably decrease the risk of stiffness. When surgery is indicated, and again, it should be primarily based upon the examination of the hand and whether the cascade or function or alignment has been disrupted. If surgery is indicated, there's basically three broad ways to approach them. You can do a closed reduction pinning, you can do an open reduction with lag screws, or you can do open reduction and plate and screw fixation. And those are your three predominant ways to go about doing them. All of them work fine, and which option you choose should be primarily predicated upon the fracture pattern and location. But the basic tenet when it comes to finger fractures is less is more. So if you can treat a fracture close or with closed reduction and pinning, that's always better for the most part than an open reduction, which will result in more soft tissue dissection, more swelling, more soft tissue exposure, and increased risk for swelling, the stiffness, and adhesion formation. However, the counter to that is, if you're going to do open reduction and internal fixation, then you should absolutely institute early motion. If you are doing an open reduction fixation and then holding the patient afterwards, you're defeating the purpose, and then that patient would be better off treated closed with pinning or just closed alone. Shifting now to metacarpal fractures. Metacarpal fractures are extremely common. How you manage a fracture depends upon the location. There's four areas of a metacarpal. The first is the head, the second is the neck, the third is the shaft, and the fourth is the base. Fractures at the neck of the metacarpal is the most common, such as Boxer's fracture. Fractures of the head of the metacarpal is the least common, as it results in an articular injury. In terms of management, the metacarpal neck, starting with the most common, is usually the result of a direct blow from a closed fist. These far and away can be treated non-surgically. The book answer in terms of how much angulation you can accept versus treat surgically is, for index and middle metacarpal necks, you can accept up to 10 to 15 degrees of angulation, whereas with the ring and small finger metacarpal necks, you can accept up to 40 to 45 degrees. But again, those are all controversial numbers, where in reality it should come down to the examination of the hand. The hand in reality can accept a good amount of angulation at the neck, as long as the patient understands that they will develop some loss of prominence of the knuckle, but functionally they'll do quite well. But the book answer is from 10 degrees to at the index metacarpal up to 40 to 45 degrees at the small finger metacarpal neck. In terms of the shaft, these fractures are again like long bone fractures. They can be transverse, spiral, oblique, or comminuted. This site of fracture is most susceptible to finger malrotation, and it's amazing how even a little bit of malrotation can result in obvious deformity or malunion to the finger. So that's where you have to be most aggressive about making sure that you have critically analyzed the alignment and rotation of the hand with active and passive motion of the fingers before deciding between surgical or non-surgical treatment. Surgical indications include any amount of malrotation, which will result in crossing or leaning of the fingers, excessive dorsal angulation, or multiple metacarpal shaft fractures. Obviously, complex fractures such as open fractures, those with tendon injuries, are also indicated for surgery. For metacarpal base fractures, the most common are thumb metacarpal base fractures, the most famous one being the Bennett fracture, which is essentially an avulsion type fracture with the pull of the APL tendon. There's also variants such as the Rolando, which is a Y type fracture, or you can have an extra-articular base fracture. The intra-articular base fracture of the thumb are all unstable and typically warrant surgical intervention. The extra-articular ones can be managed based upon the extent of angulation or alignment. As you move to the other fingers, the base fractures are often associated with a dislocation at the CMC joint. Once dislocated, they're typically unstable and warrant open versus closed reduction pinning. But extra-articular base fractures are typically quite stable, and surgical indication should remain predicated upon rotation, alignment, and angulation of the fingers.